Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're going to be moving on to something really, really interesting in terms of health in South Africa. People all over South Africa are getting access to medical care, and especially those in the rural areas. We so often talk about rural areas. We've spoken to people who want to send out these mobile clinics to test for cancer and to test for other illnesses. So we have Russell Rensburg, who's the division director of the Rural Health Advocacy Project. Very interesting what they're doing and what's playing out in South Africa at the moment. So Russell, welcome. Really lovely to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I look forward to engaging with you on some of the work.
Fantastic, Russell. You know, when I was reading up a little bit about what you guys do, and I just thought, you know, you talk about the over the last 10 years, right? I mean, AIDS, everyone spoke about AIDS. And then it was about getting the right medication, the antiretroviral drugs. And we know that we had a president who didn't believe in it all those years ago. And then they started to roll it out. And I know because I used to, years ago, do a lot of shows on AIDS and speaking to, you know, doctors and patients and we've seen such an improvement. So this has directly affected what you guys are doing, because now people are living longer and you have this aging population, which brings a whole lot of new challenges to the healthcare system. So perhaps you can just speak to that, if you don't mind, and what it is that you do at the Rural Health Advocacy Project.
Yeah, well, so let's start off with the Rural Health Advocacy Project, is that we're established in 2009 as a partnership between the University of the Witwatersrand Center for Rural Health, which is located inside Family Medicine, and Section 27 and the Rural Doctors Association of South Africa. Our mandate and our remit is primarily to advocate for the implementation of national health strategies and by holding the government to account for on a number of different levels, political level, by which means prioritizing health and health for rural communities in line with their Section 27 rights, financial, ensuring that enough money is allocated from public funds towards rural health, and then human resources for health. And then the last component is governance, which really just links with all of that. Yeah. So in terms of the aging population, yeah, you know,
Russell, I'm going to interrupt you because we've got to go to ads, and I don't want to interrupt you when you're talking about this interesting topic. So a quick break, and we're going to come back. Hold that thought about this aging population. We're coming right back.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Great that you have joined us. Just a reminder that we do podcasts, all the shows. You can go to the Chai FM website and you'll catch this show on the website tomorrow. I know everyone at the DL Link is very, very busy getting everything for the Play for a Purpose ready, which is happening this evening. That's the casino evening. And we look so forward to getting some feedback. If you have got tickets and you're going, hope you have an amazing, amazing time. I have Russell Rensburg, who's the division director for the Rural Health Advocacy Project. Russell, just before the break, we were talking about this new challenge, and the new challenge being that there's this aging population, especially in these rural areas, and how how you're coping with that, and how that's changed within the healthcare system.
Yeah, I think, obviously, yes, as you indicated earlier, a lot of our gains over the last 10, 15 years has really been as a result of the mass rollout of ARVs, with over 5.6 million people now on treatment, right? And I think that's led to longer life expectancy. And in some provinces, up to like 3 to 5% of the population is now older than 65, right? And then over 50, the number increases even more. And when we get to that age, our health needs are different, right? And I think what's happening in the health system at the moment is, as we talk about broader reforms, we're beginning to think about how do we deliver primary healthcare services differently, right? Particularly to people over 65 in rural areas, generally don't make it to our health centers. So part of our advocacy ask at the moment is to sort of look at how do we professionalize health extension work or community health worker work to be able to speak to the needs of older people. And this can be anything from mental health support, like your previous caller or insert was about, and really just localizing and creating opportunities for older people to be able to talk about where they are and the stresses that they have, and maybe linking them to the care that they need. And as well as other kinds of services when people lose partners, as palliative care, dealing with grief, and then just particular health issues like orthopedic issues like hip replacements and all of those late stage diseases that so far we haven't really spent a lot of time or focus on, as much of the last 10, 15 years has been focused on battling different pandemics.
So you have to almost go back to a drawing board, so to speak, and refigure how the healthcare system within these areas have to change. I mean, I found it so interesting that within each province, there are different challenges. Like in KwaZulu-Natal, I believe a recent study involving basic screening found high levels of diseases like diabetes and tuberculosis in people who have never accessed the healthcare system. And then maybe you can speak to that. I mean, the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, very, very different, right?
Very, very different, very different. Well, health is situational, a lot of our health is not necessarily made in facilities, it's made in communities. And given our history as a country, when a large part of the population has often been excluded from care and have different kinds of relationship with health, so they take a lot longer to appear and often wait till they're very sick. So the way that we need to flip that around is probably by going to them rather than waiting for them to come to us. Much like that study in Northern KwaZulu-Natal showed, was that these people had never interacted with the health system, and in many instances, the yield on positive tests in those areas was substantially higher than elsewhere. So people are in some cases are dying earlier than what they should. In other cases, they're living a little bit longer. But I think all of this speaks to is that health and healthcare in the 21st century needs to think about more patient community-centered approaches, particularly in the rural areas, where we take advantage of the local assets. We create maybe employment pathways for young people in the rural areas to learn the skills, to be able to care for the population, and just broader investments in the care economy, where we not just work about care, but we also work in health literacy, and then ensuring that by having responsive primary health care, access to a doctor when you need it, being able to get to a hospital relatively easier. That when that is assisted with community health workers, our overall health outcomes improve. So I think it's really about a mind shift from taking health out of the hospital and bringing healthcare closer to the community and allowing people or equipping people with the skills to be participants in their own healthcare rather than delaying coming into the health system, often when it's too late to address some of the health ailments and maladies that they may experience.
Let's expand on that, Russell. I think that's really interesting. I mean, I know we were talking about the different provinces. I know the Eastern Cape, there are just too many hospitals that are just too expensive to run. So you've got all of these hospitals in that area, and you've got other areas where there are no hospitals. And so you're saying, let's not rely so much on the hospitals, let's rely on these community centers. And so you're talking about training these younger people so that they have these skills to participate. And that's really interesting. And then if we bring in the fact that within each province, the needs are different, as we said, look at the communities. So you're going to the communities, you're conducting these studies to see what the needs are. Let's talk about, I mean, we're in a country where there are many unskilled people, the unemployment is incredibly high. The idea that young people could be trained to do this, I think is unbelievable. I think it's such a brilliant idea. So how are you rolling that out? How far are you in the system? I mean, it's a huge undertaking. Where are you in terms of that?
So we work primarily with partners around that, and our focus at the Rural Health Advocacy Project is primarily health policy. Can you just give me a minute? health policy. So we make sure that the policy frameworks are in place to allow this to happen. And over the next day or so, I think the president signing a new health compact, and that compact is the outcome of a presidential health summit we had last year. And in the human resources pillar, and I think there are about 10 of them, but one of those pillars is just reimagining service delivery models and using community health as a mechanism to strengthen overall health, right? So I think from a policy perspective, we're there. I think the next step now is to start working with partners on defining the training curricula for community health workers, because it can be beneficial not just in the rural areas, but also in urban areas. You know, one of the things that we struggle with sometimes is palliative care or frail care, which has become increasingly expensive, and not a lot of families can support that. And by creating this additional layer of a health workforce, we can fill a lot of these gaps that are burdening communities and families at the moment through the use of underemployed young people who may have an interest in healthcare. What's good about working with younger people as well is in the minimum criteria, you can also then create pathways for them to advance their medical training going on further. They can go on to become assistant nurses or eventually nurses or other kinds of careers. But I think given our large unemployment problem, getting people a foot in the door is the first step to creating a thriving economy for all of us. And I think the health sector presents a unique opportunity to do that. So the plans are underfoot. And I think over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll see a lot of these things starting to concretize, right? But I think the important thing at the moment is to figure out those curriculums, make sure that they are trained to be able to do these services effectively, and that people can trust them in their homes with the right information. So I think we're in that cycle of capacitating the system before a bigger rollout over the next couple of years.
Does anything like that currently exist that you could work off? Because it sounds like a huge task ahead. But I mean, if there's something like that, and I wouldn't say anywhere else in the world, because I think we're so unique, right? I think this is such a unique problem, many opportunities exist there.
Look, I think the notion of community health has been around for a very long time, right? I think it started off in countries like Ethiopia and Brazil. Yeah. And it's now all over the world where health systems are, and particularly in the global south, where they're not as developed. Mm-hmm. You know, community health workers have played a critical role in bringing health to the last mile. In South Africa as well, the first responders to the HIV/AIDS pandemic were community members. You know, it was the uncles and the aunties who delivered palliative care as first responders during the times of AIDS denialism. And many of those people have over time been integrated into the system. So we have had community health workers in the system, at least for the last 30 years, but a lot of those are getting older now, and our healthcare needs are becoming different. So now we have an opportunity to sort of refocus this program to speak to more routine health needs, from mental health to support with maternal and child health to elder care, as well as a whole lot of other applications where there is a need for health. You know, and I think that spans across all demographics. And really, it's something that I feel the president and the rest of the Department of Health are very keen on delivering going forward. You know, particularly.
I hope so. I really do, Russell. I think it's amazing. And I hope it's not just something that, you know, is spoken about and years later, it still hasn't been implemented. I mean, as we said, there's such a huge unemployment problem in this country. To think that youngsters, there's an opportunity for them. And perhaps, and I suppose this would then be my next question, you know, if they're not going into nursing or they're not going into, you know, like almost mainstream medicine, and perhaps they don't have a matric, they haven't had the opportunity, but you spoke about goggles, you spoke about people helping with palliative during the time of AIDS, would they have this opportunity? You know, I know it's difficult for you to answer these questions because you probably haven't thought about all of it, but is it giving opportunity to people who just feel hopeless, like they don't have the opportunity to get there, but this could be the opportunity?
Well, this could be one of several opportunities, right? And I think it could be that for anybody, right? Regardless, I think ideally you want to work with a cadre that is trainable and that can move on. But there are so many different areas where you don't necessarily have to have a full health qualification, or you're a little bit older, you're in your 50s and you're unemployed. and we can and they can be trained as frail care workers or nursing assistants or care assistants for lack of a better word, but it's really just about caring for older people. And many people are living alone. Their children are far away, right? Or often very busy with their own families. And when you have older people in your community and your family, that places an incredible burden on some people within the family. So creating a relatively cost-effective, regulated mechanism to support families and communities in rural areas and elsewhere, I think would add a lot of value to the system and would be well received. But I think we're in the early days of doing that now, but we're laying the foundation. And that's what makes us so excited about the seventh administration and the current politics, where it's more than one party. And health is one of those issues everybody can unite around, because all of us have healthcare needs.
Listen, I'm so hopeful, I've got to say. I mean, chatting today about this and, you know, as I started the show saying, I was in the hospital this morning and just experiencing doctors and nurses. And beyond that, there's just so much. And I love what you're doing, Russell. I really hope that the Rural Health Advocacy Project is able to do what they want to do, and that this kind of project could create so much support for people in rural areas or urban areas, and, you know, opportunities as well. We will be watching closely, and please do keep us updated. It's very exciting, really exciting. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again, and thank you to the listeners of High FM for staying tuned. And yeah, we look forward to engaging with you further.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Russell Rensburg, Division Director of the Rural Health Advocacy Project, and really exciting. And who knows, with this GNU, this our government, who knows? I mean, it would be just amazing if these kind of projects are rolled out and we start to see the benefits, the impact it can have on all South Africans. Wouldn't that be amazing? Really, really amazing. Love it.